Case number 16-7113, ZB, a minor, by her parents and ex-friends et al. Appellants, versus District of Columbia, a municipal corporation. Mr. Eig for the appellants, Mr. Love for the appellee.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I am Michael Eig on behalf of ZB and her parents. Your Honors, we respectfully submit that the district court committed a multitude of errors, both factual and legal, in reaching its incorrect decision in this matter. Of greatest significance are the court employed a doubly erroneous standard in holding for the school system. First, of course, it did not employ the standard for determining a free appropriate public education that the Supreme Court has now announced in the NUF case.
The question seems to be, what light did NUF shed? It established that some language in Rowley didn't count, but it seems to me there's a certain amorphous quality in the standard set forth, if you call it a standard, set forth in Andrew. Because there's, at one place, something sounds pretty strong, reasonably calculated, enable child to achieve passing marks in advance from grade to grade, which actually is a quote from Rowley. But then that's kind of cut back and talks about things that are not a reasonable prospect for a child if progress. Whose progress is not a reasonable prospect. This IEP need not aim for grade level advancement. So the one thing that seems very clear is it sets forth a very fact and context specific notion.
Judge Williams, if I may.
Treading water is not enough, except in cases where treading water would be enough.
What the Chief Justice says in NUF is that the standard that the court is announcing is, using this Chief Justice's own word, a markedly more demanding standard than the way Rowley had been interpreted in the Tenth Circuit and in the D.C. Circuit and in most circuits. The standard was interpreted here as basically a basic floor of opportunity, which a number of circuits have equated, and then actually the petition for cert in NUF equated to the more than minimal progress NUF. What the difference as applies to this case, and I believe to many cases, is that what it focuses on is progress. What the court says in NUF is that an IEP is supposed to be engineered. The whole purpose of special education is to make progress.
But the district court here and the hearing officer here did not condemn ZB to zero progress by any means.
Zero progress is, that's the problem with the standard.
In fact, they sought more than minimal progress. Is there any dispute about that?
That she had made more than minimal progress?
They sought to, by writing the IEP.
She had made more than, I'm sorry.
They sought, in putting the terms of the IEP in, according to the evaluation, they sought to assure that she would make more than minimal progress.
They sought to ensure. The record is, according to the expert testimony presented by the parents, that she wouldn't have made significant progress, is the word that they used a number of times. But I am not arguing that, and I've done this for a long time, it's a very rare case where you would argue that a student would not make minimal progress. That's the reason that we needed Andrew F. in order to clarify that wasn't the right standard. And in fact, what the Supreme Court said as far as making minimal progress is it is equivalent to just letting the student be promoted from year to year until they drop out. That's the words of the Chief Justice again.
But that doesn't seem to be what's going on here. I mean, they set up an IEP, and there was no opportunity for Hearst to show whether there would or wouldn't have been progress under the IEP. And in fact, the parents did not object to the IEP in June as inadequate, did they? There's nothing in the record showing that they objected.
The parents raised concerns, but the parents did not reject it. Parents did not reject it till the summer.
No. And they, in fact, when they in the summer they said we're going to private school, they didn't say the IEP is inadequate in these various ways, and therefore we're going to private school.
The parents said that, according to ZV's father, what the parents said is that they had decided that they had to go to the lab school in order for their daughter to get an appropriate education. He never said that we specifically reject the IEP because she hasn't made minimal progress. He wasn't represented by counsel. He wasn't represented by an advocate.
Well, also, there was only 4 days of the school year in which progress could have been demonstrated. So you do have to look at it somewhat more in the abstract. And I understand that there are going to be cases where even, you know, the parents don't have to take chances with their child. Nonetheless, what we end up with really is a battle of the experts in the abstract, no? Because we haven't had a situation in which the school either refused or failed to timely put an IEP in place. When asked, they put one in place, and they put it in place, and the parents objected to no term of that IEP at any time before they withdrew their daughter. Is that right?
That is not, no, Your Honor. They did question. They wanted more service for their daughter. They did not reject the IEP.
No, and they didn't identify any defect in the IEP.
Where in the record do they object after they had the IEP in front? They signed the IEP.
I'm sorry. Before what I'm referring to is in the summer. I'm sorry.
Right.
What I'm referring to is when ZB's father went to the school to withdraw his daughter and to serve notice that seems to that is nowhere in the record because of the
IEP. But I think where I thought you were saying that they. Maybe I misunderstood you. I thought you were saying in response to Judge Pillard that they were presented with the June 2014 IEP, sign it, that they...
They didn't reject it. That's correct.
I don't want to play words here. I get that they didn't reject it, but I thought you were saying while they didn't reject it, they still expressed concerns about it. Where in the record are those concerns about the IEP after it was presented to them?
Mr. Zeebe's father testified about his concerns that he shared. There's nowhere in the record, to my recollection right now, that he said those during that IEP meeting.
Doesn't have to be during the meeting.
I'm sorry.
Any time between receipt of the IEP and I think it was August when they said we're taking her to lab school.
No, there's nothing in the record to that, Judge Miller.
There's nothing at all objecting to the IEP.
Nothing. There's no communication at all.
Any aspect. Okay.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
then
that's
in
right.
August when they said we're taking her to lab school. Were there any specific objections to the IEP then, other than a general we?
General, we're withdrawing our daughter because we feel that she has to go to the lab school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the parents did. The district didn't raise as an issue of notice, that they didn't have notice, but it's absolutely correct that the specific issues that we litigated in the hearing were not presented until after that.
So why isn't that a problem? For your theory that you can have your IEP, you can sign off. You know, silence is going to be, these things go back and forth, and silence is going to be interpreted as, so these parents have been actively advocating for their child, as you have to be commended for that. But one would expect that if they thought they needed more, you had the whole summer now to go, wait, no, we need more. Let's get that functional behavioral test. Let's get this other thing. We think we need this other thing before school starts and have that back and forth, but they didn't.
I would suggest that the worst consequence to the parents would be that, therefore, they might be restricted from receiving tuition reimbursement should they be found to have made the appropriate mm-hmm. move for that first semester because mm-hmm. by January of 2015, when they returned for the second IEP meeting, they had not only had they submitted Dr. Sam's report from outside, which had mm-hmm. been there before, but also the information from lab school as to what the child needed. And that IEP still provided for approximately 11 hours a week of special education, some in the mainstream and some self-contained, and that was woefully inadequate.
The district responded, though. I mean, we can't expect them to respond within seconds. They responded with the 2015 IEP, which essentially gave everything they were asking for other than full-time education at the lab school.
Absolutely not, Your Honor. The testimony that was either ignored or discounted by the district court was that IEP lacked appropriate goals.
When you say that, when you're talking about the 2014 or 2015?
2015, I'm sorry.
Okay.
The January 2015 goals in all basic academics, reading, math, written language, executive functioning, classroom behavior.
I'm sorry, it lacked what? It lacked goals?
It lacked appropriate goals, not just service hours, which would upset to the side here, but goals in reading, written language, mathematics, executive functioning, and classroom behavior.
They added, in April executive functioning. They added everything that she was getting in lab school, and I guess even more because she wasn't getting occupational therapy at lab school. And so
the parents couldn't afford it.
Sorry?
The parents could not afford it is what Ms.
I get it.
But there's testimony from Dr. Sands and from Dr. Durham, who was the, the division head at the lab school, both that the IEP was missing all of those pieces in January. Not just the original
right,
IEP
and then,
in June.
And then the school, I mean, the school then responded, the district then responded and put those things in.
Not in January, Your Honor.
Okay, when did they put them in?
They didn't put them in for that entire school year.
Well, they had executive functioning in April, and I think they had...
I'm sorry, they didn't have it.
Do I have the
April
wrong
year?
April
the year is
head?
Over.
Well, no.
No, I'm sorry. Three quarters of the year is over. And Dr. Sands, who had done the psychological report before the year began, said that she had identified executive functioning needs in the report that the school system had.
Which is
had.
Why over the summer the parents could have said, wait, Dr. Sands said in response to the 2014 IEP.
The school system
IEP,
had the report. Mm-hmm. I mean, the parents weren't.
But they had behavioral elements in the June 2014 one. And so if the parents thought those were not enough, shouldn't they have said, thanks, but not good enough?
It would make this argument easier for me right now, but the fact is that we can only expect so much of parents who go outside because of their concern that how their daughter is doing, get this neuropsychological report, submit it to the school system, and then eventually come to a due process hearing where the same evaluator said, yeah, I identified all that stuff as to what she needed in addition to much more special education, and I feel that the IEP needs it. That's what the testimony
is. This is not the way you briefed it, but is your argument that as of June 2014, the school, under its responsibility unilaterally, not prompted by parents, really had an obligation to hire better evaluators and develop a much more robust IEP than it did?
Yes, and you're right, we didn't argue it that way, but we argued the other way around.
The difficulty is it can't be that hindsight can impugn the IEP. The IEP is written based on the information at the time. And so either there's something that was known to the school and the parents that wasn't taken account of, and in that view, well, it's a little bit problematic that the parents signed off on it. Or, and this seems plausible also, there's an affirmative obligation on the school to really, you know, get to the bottom of it on its own initiative, and it becomes apparent to the parents much later that the school hasn't done that. But the fact that without any such obligation, and I haven't seen case law spelling that out, without any such obligation on the part of the school, you really can't say, well, look what happened many months later. The school should have anticipated that. It's hindsight. It's just
the way we argued it, Your Honor. I fully agree that, yeah, there is a child find obligation, of course, in the law, and that requires the school system to identify. They're the professionals. They're the ones we give the benefit of the doubt usually if there's a dispute. The way we argued it is that after the parents went outside and got the neuropsychological report, which the evaluator says was not reflected in the IEPs that the school system had proposed, what the parents did is made the decision to go to lab school. And the IEP was in June, and within a half a year, 6 months, from the school system's IEP, there was all of this information that showed that the school system should have known this. No one, of course, would have reasonably suggested that ZB somehow got all of these needs sometime between June and December of 2014.
Well, but that's also a difficult question. Children do manifest needs over time, very much. I mean, you know that as well as anyone, that children are developing quickly. Their abilities either shoot forward or fall back relative to their peers. And, you know, this is 5 years into her experience at Hearst, and this is identified presumably because the needs are becoming
rapidly more apparent. Can I take one example from the record, Judge, that shows that isn't, of course, children do develop needs as time goes by. This is a very short period of time. But if I just take reading, which is obviously very important for any student, that was identified both when she got to Lascaux, and it was also identified in Dr. Sand's neuropsychological report before. On cross-examination, two, Ms. Oliveros and the school system's psychologist, Ms. Tick, both acknowledged that there were signs on cross-examination that this child was below average for the whole prior year in reading and that they just didn't pick up on them.
At least the grades showed that she was improving. To the extent you can credit the grades, she was moving up from the lowest possible level to the next level.
That's what the grades show, and then the information that Lascaux gets as when they put her in their program in September of that year shows that her levels had not moved in any significant way in these basic academic areas.
Had not
improved the way that
What were the before and after the lab school was using?
The lab school's IEP, which Joint Appendix, has instructional levels for all basic academics. IEPs need that kind of information. It shows very low levels, and I'm sorry, I do not have...
I mean, that's consistent with the third grade report, but it is also consistent with the third grade reports showing progress. You may discredit that, but...
I respectfully question it, because if indeed her functional levels, as measured by the lab school in September of right at the beginning of the next year, are that low, then one does have to question the significance of her progress.
But was the record just that there was progress between, I could be misremembering here, between the second and third quarters, but we didn't yet have the fourth quarter results?
We did not have the fourth quarter.
And then did the fourth quarter results show that continued progress, or did it show backwards? Or I guess I sort of got the assumption that things
I don't want to misstate. Okay, we relied on hearing as to how she was in September and October of the next year, and those levels were consistently low and consistent with how she had been the prior year. Is the point?
So the record on reading shows that in the evaluation she scored in the average range. Sands' report doesn't isolate reading as an area of concern. It identifies language skills as one of ZB's strengths. DCPS staff, who are also educational experts, and I understand you don't always want to credit where they come out, they say that she didn't show a need for reading assistance at the time the June 2014 IEP was drafted.
Getting back to your prior question, Your Honor, you said, and it was partially correct with all due respect, that IEPs do have to be judged based upon the information that was known or should have been known is what the courts have said, which makes sense, of course. Okay, and what's important in this situation is if indeed she was as we have two other facts there. One, the fact that we have this information from the early fall as to her having significant needs in a number of these academic areas, and two, if indeed the school system witnesses during the hearing note that, yes, there were reading problems. They did note that. They just hadn't picked up on it. It's that simple. That can happen, of course, and that's what they acknowledged.
So, reading problems during 2014?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
During the prior
school year. During 2014.
And just tell me where you're looking in the record for that.
If I can, I reserve 2 minutes if I can get it
to you. Oh, don't worry about the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that to find that in the record, it'd take me a minute.
So here's a,
are you trying to find the...
I've defined where Ms. Taking Ms. Olivero's.
Okay.
I remember where it's in my brief, but I want to find out, obviously.
Sure. That's right. If it's Ms. Taking Olivero's, who you said showed reading lagging, said that there was reading lagging in the 2013 to 14 school year.
Yes. At least in our brief, our original brief at page 32, we say, Ms. Oliveros, the DCPS special educator, confirmed that DCPS should have understood that Dr. Sands' report showed ZB's needs in reading. She testified that Dr. Sands recommended special education and language arts, which encompass reading, and that's a joint appendix.
Should have understood that Dr. Sands' report showed needs, but that's a report that wasn't made until after the end of that school year, right?
Yes, but I'm not finished.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
That's a joint appendix 373, by the way. But then she said that ZB performed similarly poorly in reading and math, that's at 375, and that ZB's special education eligibility was based in part upon her reading and writing deficits, and that's at JA 374. And I'm looking for, and above
okay,
that.
So I got.
Ms. Tech, this is where we reference Ms. Tech, above that on that page.
I don't have a JA 374. Are we using your Bates? I'm confused. Is it the Bates stamps or which stamps are we using? Is it the Middles number or is it the Bates stamp number? Because it's not working for me. Yeah.
We had to do a. This isn't correct. No, that's
okay. I can't. Is it? So it's not the big bold number. Is it the Bates stamp number?
374, not 470.
The bottom check, if I may show.
374, not 470.
Sorry. Right. I've got to work on your numbering systems here.
Judge, we're giving you the wrong. We agreed to an amended sealed appendix. I'm looking at the original appendix supplement under seal. So, if I can correct those, which obviously I can't do standing right here. And I don't know how that happened, obviously. I apologize.
Nope.
The pages are going to be the same. I just have to give you different sites because we didn't change the page. Obviously, we didn't change the appendix.
Does the record show when they applied to lab school? I know that they said they were going out in August.
I believe it was in the spring.
It's a hard school to get into. So they were already applying to lab school in the spring before the June IEP came out.
I'm sorry, Judge, and if you could at least, and once again, I'll get the right page, but it's page 32 of our corrected brief that I was referring to before that has, I just have to get you the joint appendix. I do want to point out that Ms. Tick as well, and that's the top of page 32, noted that Sarah Tick admitted that ZB had performed not well on her third grade report card in their reading as Judge Williams pointed out. More specifically, Ms. Tick admitted that ZB was below grade level in reading during the entire 13-14 year, just as she was in math. And joint appendix cites that those joint appendix, I should be right. It's what I was referring to from my book are the wrong ones. Once again, I'm sorry.
And so your view is that given that her reading was below average during the 2013 to 2014 school year, that should have alerted the school, at least in the process of doing an IEP, triggered by other information about deficits, that they should have given her services in that area.
Along with Dr. Sands' report at the end.
Dr. Sands' report comes later. And I understand you're acting as if Dr. Sands' report, because it either information known or that reasonably should have been known, and you're saying, well, because it reasonably should have been known, then we're gonna treat it as if it was known. It wasn't known, though. And the question
that's
is we've got to consider a school. I mean, half the kids in any class are below average in their reading.
No, actually, the statistics don't support that. Logic does.
It must be below
average. I understand.
I understand the grading system.
That's what I'm referring to, Judge. Okay. Yes, logically, half the kids are above and half the kids are below, and except for one who's right on the number.
So is your – I'm sorry, were you done? No. What I'm trying to understand is the point that the school shouldn't have waited for you to get the Sens report. The school shouldn't have waited for you/lab school to get all this information. It should have been doing all of this stuff on its own. Is that the problem?
Based upon how she was performing, based upon expression of parental concerns, yes. Based upon its obligation under child.
It can't be expression of parental concerns because we didn't have that.
No, throughout the year, not at the IEP.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything specific to point to at the IEP meeting. That's right, Judge.
What is the test? You say you've been doing this a lot. So what is our test for? So get the fact if you had parents who just didn't know, knew their child was having problems but didn't have the knowledge or wherewithal or resources to get their own testing, that the school under IDEA is supposed to take the initiative here. But what is the legal rule that says responding to the SANS report, putting these things in place, parents seem hunky-dory as far as we can tell with this, and then we're going to revisit it in 30 days is not enough? What put them on notice that they needed, at least over the summer, maybe they didn't have time, they wanted to respond quickly to SANS report, but over the summer they should have been getting more testing, doing the stuff that the lab school did that fall. Because I think that's what you have to show, is that they should have done in the summer what the lab school did in the fall, so you had an IEP in place for fourth grade.
You know, that gets us back to the first question about Andrew F. Because when under Andrew F., what the standard is that the school system has to draft, consistent with the unique circumstances of each child, an IEP that should show a level of progress that the IEP team itself is supposed to establish is appropriate.
Okay, that's a very general standard. And what I'm asking for you is if we as a court we write a rule, to rule for you, it has to be something that D.C. can understand what its obligations are under the statute, or parents can understand what has to be shown before they have a right to go make this decision to go off to private school. So what more specifically, don't quote me just the Andrew F. standard, the loose language, what specifically is the test, the trigger here that says you should have given me in 2014, and we'll give you through the summer of 2014, what lab school did that fall, as opposed to responding to the SANS report, giving us your best views? That seems to be the fight issue here. Were they too passive?
Pull the SANS report into it for just in one way. If there is a lack of progress, and the sections I just cited, just in the area of reading again, and we haven't talked at all.
But there hadn't been a lack of progress under what? Under what?
Well, one of the marking periods in reading, and that her original eligibility was based upon language arts, including reading.
Did she have a diagnosed disability in reading?
I believe.
I didn't think Dr. Sands had done that.
Not specifically in reading, no. Dr. Sands did not,
right.
did not
it,
diagnose
so isn't
her.
Isn't that important?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that important?
No, because the label doesn't, the coding, of course, doesn't determine what appropriate programming is. If we are to believe Dr. Sands, and I know you didn't want me to go back to her, but if you are to believe Dr. Sands, what she said is that I identified lots of needs that the IEP should have addressed that weren't addressed. I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
But we're going through them, and the difficulty, I think, is back to the question of what's the standard that is supported by the IDEA, and we know two things. We know that it needs to be a free and appropriate public education, and under Andrew, that requires that the student, I'm going to misquote it, but, make reasonable progress.
You're not misquoting it.
But we also know that the IEP need not perfectly account for the student's needs. It need not do everything conceivable. And these parents, to their credit, may not be happy with doing less than everything that could perfectly account for their daughter's needs. And there may indeed in the real world be a lawfully permissible gap between what a school like the lab school can provide and what students are entitled to in the D.C. public schools. That, and then the question is, what measures that and or what makes that gap not permissible under the IDEA because it just isn't at the level that the school
On this record, Your Honor, what I would point you to is the testimony in the hearing, not just from Dr. Sands, but from Dr. Jennifer Durham at the lab school, the experts in special education who identified that gap because it is absolutely true that if the lab school is the best, and I don't know that it is, but it's one of the best, and if it's the best, that certainly all students aren't going to be entitled to getting the best. We know that from Rowley, and we don't even know what the best is, I would respectfully submit, so how could that be the standard? But what those experts identified at the hearing was that the IEP was missing about two-thirds of the necessary hours of special education.
And now you're talking about the June 2014. I went through, I mean, you have your big picture legal arguments, but you also do make arguments about these particular educational buckets. And my reading of the record came out a little bit differently from the way you characterize it in terms of things like on the reading goals, maybe the record is disputed. On OT, Sands Reports recommends that she receive an OT evaluation, and then she gets an OT evaluation with a short turnaround. They were willing to do it, and there wasn't any suggestion from the parents or other IEP team members that OT was warranted right away. So I don't see that as necessarily a shortfall. And then there's a functional behavioral assessment, behavior intervention plan. There wasn't one. There's a question whether that's a procedural or a substantive violation. So you're sort of referring to as if the record is clear that there was this significant shortfall, and I'm not sure it is that clear. And or what is your standard?
As far as the two areas that you just focused on, there isn't a substantial shortfall, or at least there's an argument on OT and behavior, because those are the two evaluations that the school system did in the fall. So, and we note that in our brief. We argue that they should have been there before because she had significant behavioral problems the year before.
Right, but Dr. Sands had recommended identified the behavioral problems, and they did have the behavioral provisions in the IEP. It wasn't that they were ignoring it. And if they've identified the behavioral problems and they've got a proposal for addressing it, they don't have to go get a functional behavior assessment.
No. And once again, I shouldn't have even said that because I think much, much more significant is the fact that what Dr. Sands says she was recommending is for all core academic courses, small group special education classes, and for the non, like the, what they call the specials or the other thing, special education support, but possibly that could have been in what's called a co-taught model she testified to, which is, you know, special education support within general education classes. That's what she recommended, and she said she identified these areas of need in the IEP, in academics, I've gone through them already, and that's what Dr. Durham from the lab school said as well. They aren't in the IEPs. They aren't in the new IEP, the January IEP as well.
The small group special education is not? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it is for up to about, I think, 11 hours, about a third of her time. The rest of two-thirds of her time would have been in general education classes with no special education support whatsoever.
How small would the classes be in the public school, because there's a lot of emphasis on she needs small classes. I didn't hear your briefing that was an issue.
They'd be equivalent to the lab school classes. Absolutely, Your Honor. They would be classes from as few as one instruction.
The public school ones?
For specific instruction,
yes. I'm not talking about the pull-out. The class itself
would be, but the instruction could be a one-to-one. They would be, generally speaking, 5 to 10 students with a teacher and sometimes an aide.
In an ordinary class, we're asking.
An ordinary class, 25 to 30, I think.
And how about at lab?
Lab school varies because they have about 12, I think the testimony is 12 or 13 in a class with a teacher and a couple of aides, and then they break the class up for academics, so it ends up to be about six with about three or sometimes even four staff. Very, very, very small intensive classes. But the point I was trying to make was that at least by the January IEP, the mid-year IEP with all of that input from lab and the new DCPS reports in OT and the FBA, the school system still proposed something that the experts testify would be insufficient, would be markedly insufficient to meet the students' needs.
Right, but the only objection you have there, because let's add in the April executive functioning, but the only objections you had, at least in January, were the executive functioning and that it wasn't full-time special education. Is that correct?
According to the testimony from Dr. Durham.
I'm not asking about Dr. Durham. I'm talking about your objections.
And the objections at the IEP meeting?
To January 2015. At the meeting would be great, but your objections, what you say is deficient about January 2015 is it's not full-time special education, and it didn't address executive functioning. Anything else?
Yes. According to the testimony, the academic goals in math, reading.
Where is that in your briefing? And where is that in your objections in the district? All I had gotten was the special education and the executive functioning.
If I may.
We'll get that on rebuttal, too, then. Too.
I'm getting a bucket.
Did you define executive functioning?
I think it was defined. Executive functioning is organization, initiation, the ability to execute that part of the brain.
It's a term for all the activities that go to social behavior, right?
No, executive functioning is basically the way I've always described it is great athletes like a golfer on Sunday afternoon, maybe not being better, but being able to beat the other people because he can be organized and focused and understand the task and get it done. That's what executive functioning is. In this classroom, it's remembering your assignments, it's being able to shift from one thing to another, it's being able to attend. Attention deficit is related to, and actually something is a part of the executive function.
And so the objections, as just looking at your brief, the objections on the writing and math were that they were inappropriate goals. It wasn't objections to the services as so much as the goals, right?
Well, the amount of services, because if you're only going to give that amount of hours of special education, then you're not going to be able to deal with all the academic subjects. But besides that, it's the nature of the substance of the goal.
So can you give me a concrete example? So the goal that lab school offered in math.
One by one multiplication rather than two by one.
And the public school was?
According to Dr. Durham, the level, to begin with, the levels were very, and I can find that site too if I get the right appendix. The levels that some of the goals started at were very inconsistent with the ZB that they received and started working with. They were too high.
They were
too ambitious. They started at presuming skills that she did not have, is what Dr. Durham testified.
In 2015. I'm talking about January 2015.
Yes, I'm sorry, the 2015 IEP, yes. Yes.
That's the January 2015 IEP started her at too high a goal or
that
too high
a level. In some areas, she...
Which areas? I'm trying to get some specifics from you because I had not gotten this from the briefing, other than that you want to get full-time special education.
If I may, I will point you to specific. Thank you very much.
All right. Maybe we should let the other side.
May I get to work on my side?
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Richard Love for the District of Columbia. Your Honor, I respectfully disagree with many of the arguments, particularly as to what the record shows about reading and what the record shows about the disagreement with regard to the January 2015 IEP, which I'll start with. If you look at pages 397A to E, 398, 400 to 402, Ms. McClellan, McFarland, one or the other, testified she was responsible for preparing the January 2015 IEP. She testified as to how that came about. In December, based on the additional evaluations that DCPS obtained, in, they revised the IEP. ZB's parents asked if they could reconvene and consider information from the lab school and their attorney, which the school system agreed to do. And at those pages that I referenced, Ms. McFarland testifies that all of that information was included, that there was no disagreement about goals, and that the only disagreement with regard to the 2015 IEP was as to the need for full-time special education. There was executive executive functioning goals in the January IEP. They weren't an express goal. They were included in a different area, but there's...
Where were they included in January?
In January, I think they said they were in the social area, but there clearly were the executive functioning goals with regard to organizational and color-coded materials. What was added in April was a result of a resolution meeting, and there's clear testimony in the record that says that that wasn't brought up earlier. And that's why they added it in April. But what was provided in January was what had been obtained from the lab school, or was designed to address what was obtained from the lab school and ZB's parents and the other data and information to address the executive functioning. And with regard to the disagreement on special education, whether it was required for full time, there is abundant evidence in the record that explains why the members of the DCPS IEP team disagreed that there was a need for full time special education. And the hearing officer and the district court, on its independent review, credited that. For example,
the district court didn't just credit it, seemed to give a rule of deference. Are you defending that rule of deference that the district court did?
Well,
explanations are there or not from the district. You don't get deference.
Well, I think that what the district court said was she gave less deference to the hearing officer's finding than that she did her own independent review, and I think the result of that independent review was basically a basic corroboration of the findings and conclusions that the hearing officer reached.
What I'd like to do is, if you don't mind, is get back to June 2014.
Yes.
Okay? The Dr. Sans report comes in was it April? I mean, it's pretty short order before the June 2014.
It was received on May 19th.
May 19th.
It's dated May 12th, but I believe it's Ms. Tick said she received it on May 19th.
Okay, so in pretty short order, the district, to its credit, looked it over and got an IEP within a couple weeks on that. But what is... The district has an obligation on its own to determine when you identify a child who had needs, and this child had been demonstrating needs for years within the DC public school system. You already had a 504 plan in place. This has been going on since pre-K. So what was the obligation, what's the legal rule that you would offer for why the district itself didn't have an obligation, at least over that summer, to do more testing and get more information? And so it seems to be very reactive. Right, it doesn't do this testing. It waits for them to come, go get a private test, and give it to you. And go, oh, okay, that's good. We'll do this, and then wait for lab. You say, don't go to lab school. But that all the district has done here is react to what the lab school did and what the studies there produced. Where is the district here meeting its own obligation to exercise initiative? We can't depend on parents. Some parents might not have the wherewithal to know themselves what to do. They're just trying to help their child. So where is the district being proactive here and getting testing done for a child that seemed to have a lot of real challenges.
Well, I think the evidence in the record does show that since the middle of the second grade at Hearst, ZB was receiving behavioral support. Behavior was identified as an important consideration.
Behavioral support is not the same thing as an IEP and educational plan.
No, but, you know, there was a testimony in terms of tiered levels that were provided to, you know, they stepped up their interventions with regard.
No, I get the district has its tiers it wants people to march through, but if you have a child who you can tell early on, again, you'd had her since pre-K, she's got some real issues. I don't know why you have to march through tiers when you know she's already a tier three or tier four person.
Well, I respectfully disagree. I mean, based on the record, the information in the record, I mean, ZB's own therapist from Children's Hospital recommends a 504 plan, and mm-hmm. she says that should be tried first. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work,
is the parents going to get the information, right? The parents seem here to have to keep getting the tests and then delivering them to you. Not all parents can't afford to get these tests done. You have child find obligations. You have identification obligations. And all the district seems to be doing here is reacting to the tests that they're going and getting and paying for. And that can't be right. I mean, you argue that they just have to have an IEP that fits the evidence in the record, but if the district isn't going to get any evidence in the record on its own, that seems to be an enormous problem. That can't be the test anymore. So tell me what the rule is for what testing and information you have to collect and how it was met here.
Well, I think it was met by the information that the parents did procure. I mean,
so is your position that the district had no obligation with this student that it has seen struggling since pre-K to get any information on its own? It just had to wait for parents to bring tests and reports. Okay, so then what was done?
I'm saying that the record shows that they did. They provide tiered interventions in second grade, both in behavioral, pull out special education.
Well, you said that was in response to the report from their doctor at Children's.
Also in response. No, the if you look at the record at pages, I think it's referenced at pages 55, 254, and 340. Before there was a 504 plan, ZB was receiving behavioral support and pull out small group instruction, and I believe math and I also believe in reading. Later that year, a 504 plan was initiated, and it was initiated in response to the therapist's recommendation.
Which grade was that?
Excuse me?
Which grade was the 504 plan? Was that second grade?
It was in the second grade, but it was after the behavioral support and the pull-out services were already being provided to ZB. There were also, I think...
So the 504 plan, you do your tier with that, and then the change is prompted by their report from their doctor, and then after that, what did you do? Or did you not have an obligation? I'm really trying to understand the legal rules here, because the Supreme Court standard is very amorphous. And so if you agree that the district has an obligation on its own to identify problems, to do needed tests, to create an appropriate record for making these judgments, what is the test for that? How would you articulate the legal rule you'd like to see in an opinion, and how was it met here?
My understanding also, there are additional things that the DCPS did, I think, before the June 14th IEP. There's evidence in the record, I believe at 125 and 127, that Hearst was providing a bullying curriculum, preferential seating, extended testing time, and a multi-sensory learning and repetition during instruction. But more responsive to your question, I think the idea requires if the parents had requested independent testing, there would be an obligation.
Okay, but what if they don't? What if parents don't know to request? Then you don't have to do anything?
Well, I don't. I think, you know, I'm not aware of any requirement. I'm not, you know, familiar with, and I am familiar that if the request is there, testing has to be done.
So if the district, I want to be crystal clear on the district's position here. And is it that you have only to respond to parental requests, reports obtained by parents, and you don't have an independent obligation when you see a child struggling? And she was going nowhere in second grade but down. And so where You had no obligation to do the testing or collect the information on your own. I just want to be clear what the district's position is.
Well, my position, based on this record, is that the district did respond to
okay,
what they were
observing.
Okay,
that's not the question I asked. I'm asking what your position, what your guys are the ones that send in a contract to the federal government saying, we're going to comply with the IDEA. We're going to comply with all of its obligations, including child find obligations. Do you understand, as part of those obligations, that you have a duty when you discover a child that's struggling to obtain testing or not? I'm just asking the question.
But your question asked, when is that obligation triggered?
My question is right now is, do you have an obligation? No, I have one question at a time. The question right now is, do you have any independent obligation to undertake testing or consult experts, collect information
yes.
on which to advance
yes.
the IP. Okay, you do have that obligation.
I think, that obligation exists. When it is triggered.
When is it triggered?
I can't answer that specifically. I think it's fact dependent. Here you had a school psychologist who identified and provided a behavioral implementation plan as early as second grade before the 5-0 plan.
Did the school psychologist do that on his or her own, or was it in response to complaints from the parents?
As far as I read the record, this was initiated by DCPS, by Ms. Tick.
Mm-hmm.
She testified later she developed the 504 plan. So there were some services provided, and I think if you look at ZB's father's testimony, I think he also indicated there were these various
okay, but
tiers.
Beyond 504, which is a different statutory scheme, you have obligations under the IDEA, which involves IEPs. So why didn't the district believe that it had, at any time, an obligation to test this child, to get experts to come in, either testing or expert evaluation, to go beyond, that this was a child that needed an IEP under the IDEA. Was that ever decided by DC?
Well, it was decided after, these other efforts.
What other efforts?
Well, as I said, there was a behavioral implementation plan. There was pull-out and special in reading and math. Subsequently, then there
was
escalated
plan.
To a 504 plan.
Right.
And thereafter, the IEP was developed subsequent to
which
the SANS report, the June 2014.
Okay, so I'm back to my question. When did DC, DC didn't decide that she needed an IEP until the parents went and got a test? You didn't feel any obligation to get her tested on your own or to decide on your own that we now need an IEP governed by IDEA?
Apparently not. There's not in the record any indication that IEP testing or was conducted or requested
right.
prior to the SANS report.
Right. So, because
there
the
also
is
testimony, at least from Ms. Tick, and I didn't note the page, but I know it is in the record, that, there was a concern on the part of ZB's parents about labeling her as special education and that they did want to go through this tiered system before coming to that point. So there was, as I say, there were services, and the initiating factor was, as you said, in this particular case, the SANS report.
Right, this is what I'm concerned. You guys make, there's important arguments here that you make about, look, when we got the information, we did a very prompt response to the SANS report. We had these measures in here that we thought would implement that enough to give her an appropriate education. The parents didn't seem to object. We were going to review in 30 days. And then off they go to lab school. So I get that sounds like a powerful argument, but then when you look at the big picture here, DC's done nothing except react to, you say don't go to lab school, but it's only because I went to lab school and got the information and the testing that you got the January 2015 IEP. How would that have ever come into being without them, if they hadn't gone to Dr. Sanz, if they hadn't gone to lab school and gotten these testing and reports, how would we have ever gotten to a point where you now say we have what the law requires?
Well, Well, I don't think you can answer that. I mean, they might have done it,
without the SANS
report. They might have done it, in the end of the third year. They may have done
they
it in
have,
the beginning
they might
of the fourth
not.
Grade.
Does D.C. not have a system in place?
We don't know one way or the other.
Does D.C. not have a system in place for undertaking testing? 504 plan wasn't
getting
Certainly
they do, but what triggers it, I mean, I think it's very factual dependent on this particular instance.
Why wasn't it triggered here before the SANS report in May? Third grade had not been going great. Second grade hadn't been going well at all.
Well, services were being provided
services
in second
were being provided
grade, and
the
they
test.
Were following the therapist's recommendation and first implementing a 504 plan before moving to IEP testing. Why it wasn't done before April, which is when Dr. Sands conducted her evaluation and her report was issued the following month, I'm not certain. The record doesn't indicate it, just as it doesn't indicate whether or not it would have been done the following week, month, or the following school year.
So it may never have
but
happened.
But they were.
If they hadn't done it on their own.
Well, I don't think you can conclude that.
We can't conclude either way, is what you're telling me.
That's correct.
That seems problematic, given your obligations under the statute. It's hard to say, don't go out and exercise your own initiative to find out what your child needs. You can't do that, and yet all the school does is react to and incorporate what that initiative produces. That's just what I'm struggling with in the law. It seems to me there needs to be a legal rule about what triggers it, and then we'll be able to know when they have gone too far. Or not too far, but they have made their own independent decision to go another way.
Well, I think the legal rule is, the question is whether or not she was provided a FAPE through the June 2014 IEP and the January 2015 IEP. Both the hearing officers and the district court concluded that she did.
Do you think the 504 plan itself would satisfy the IDEA standards for an
no,
IEP?
No, I'm not suggesting no.
Okay,
that.
Okay, just to be clear. And so, because you want us to only look at that, but obviously their decision in June 2014 or spring 2014 to apply OLAP and in August 2014 was a product of all the years that are talked about in the record that led up to that. All those years of them having to go get the specialists, the children's, them having to go find Dr. Sands. The things that this district were doing were just not remotely. Things were getting worse. The bullying was worse. She was getting worse in her learning. And as you get older, these impacts become much more consequential.
So I understand that.
So we can't just look at June 2014. We have to look at the whole record before in the D.C. school system.
I agree. And I think the record shows there was a total reliance on the SANS report. There also were the people who were participating in the June IEP meeting, included school personnel who have been working with ZB since second grade.
Were there any plans to have a June 2014 IEP had the SANS report not landed in someone's office in May? Is there any evidence in the record that the school district itself was already formulating an IEP?
No.
It was just carrying forward the 504 plan at that point?
Yes. They were carrying forward the 504 plan, and as I said, there were, as Dr. Sands in her report notes, ZB, this is from her May 14th report. She notes, ZB has improved a great deal this semester. Her fluency and problem-solving skills have come a long way. ZB's reading improved significantly, and Dr. Sands' testing in her report showed that she had average reading skills. ZB's third quarter report.
But you told me the 504 plan you had in place was not sufficient. So the fact that there may have been nowhere to go but up at that point for this child. So I'm not sure.
I'm saying the 504 plan doesn't substitute for IEP testing. But, Dr. Sands' report shows that there were, there were issues, but there also were significant strains.
Is there anything in the record about what D.C. was doing on its own testing and monitoring to say that this was good enough? Imagine there was no SANS report. Would there have? That's what I'm asking. Is there anything in the record to say that there would have been
a recognition for the all the additional things that showed up in June 2014?
There's nothing that indicates one way or the other whether or not IEP testing was contemplated. But as I said, personnel from her school were providing services to ZB since the second grade. Some of those services were escalated over the course of the second grade and the third grade. So this wasn't a student who was simply shoved off to the side and neglected and overlooked. There were services, there was attention, they were aware of ZB's problems, and yes,
like,
the initiating
but
factor
that sounds like the
was
problem
Dr.
Rejected.
Sanz's report. But this is not simply a situation where the her school simply overlooked ZB.
No, I get that. So you're not, right. You didn't completely miss the ball on this. And to be fair, Andrew F. was not on the books. Y'all were working in a Rowley world. But what you just described sounds like exactly the sort of de minimis progress standard that was rejected in Andrew F. And so what I'm wondering is, this whole case was litigated pre-Andrew F. To be fair to the district, you guys didn't have Andrew F. on the books. But how do we have a record here to know that the district was independently meeting its obligations consistent with the Andrew F. standards if no one ever applied it?
I think the standard this court has to judge is whether or not the June 2014 IEP provided DB a free and appropriate public education. And the fact that it was initiated by a Dr. Sanz's report doesn't take away from what the issue before this court is.
Well, let me ask you another question about June 2014 IEP, okay? If you had all the information that you had in January 2015, would the June 2014 IEP be up to snuff?
The only difference between the June 2014 IEP and the January 2015 IEP is reading was added as a goal. Now, when the June 2014 IEP was developed, and there's considerable testimony in the record from Ms. Tate and Ms. Oliveros, who disagreed that reading was required or necessary. You have, as I said,
I want to get back to my question, which is, I think, a simpler one, and that is, if you had the information that you had as of January 2015, if you had that in June 2014, would the June 2014 IEP have been appropriate under the IDEA? Would it have met the Andrew F. standard? If you had that information, I guess you didn't, but if you had, would it have met the Andrew F. standard?
I want to answer the question, but I want to make sure I understand it, so I'm answering.
I'm saying if you take all the information you have, because the IEPs are formulated on the basis of the information in front of you. So if you take all the information you had in January 2015, when you made the January 2015 IEP,
yes,
and all you produced instead was the June 2014 IEP, would you have met your obligations under the statute?
Well, I certainly, yes, I think that the only, as I said, the only difference in the January
the only difference in reading can be all the difference in the world if that's something she needs to have
but
addressed.
There was a basis for not including it, and there's abundant
testimony. No, I'm saying you have the information in January. By January, you had the information about reading problems, and that's presumably why you put it in your January 2015 IEP.
Right.
I think you want to say June was fine because we didn't have that information, but I think what I'm getting is that once we had the information we had in January, we responded as we did, quite responsibly, and we changed the IEP to reflect this new information we had. We had an abundance of information in front of us, and we were quick to this isn't a delay case. We were quick to respond. We've essentially given them everything but full-time special education based on the information that we've gotten.
Right.
And we didn't have that information in June.
Right.
So it didn't have the stuff that we knew we needed
right.
by
if
January 2015.
Right. If we had that information. But the information We couldn't have had the information that we had in January because we had 6 months or several more months of experience inside a classroom setting with ZB with regard to reading skills. We also had an occupational therapy evaluation that had not been conducted. I mean, as you said, we received Dr. Sands' report on May 19th. The priority was to not wait for an OT eval, but to complete an IEP, and that was done promptly.
You did that promptly, and then you had a whole summer where you did nothing. No summer education, which can be very important.
Well, she's never been found to need extended school year.
Okay. So, but there was no testing?
By the lab school.
No testing? None of this stuff?
No, there was no testing. And as you have pointed out, the parents did agree. I mean, all of the people working said we would agree with the goals, objectives, the services, and the hours in the June 2014 IEP. There was an understanding that it would be reviewed in 30 days and could be changed at that point. So, yeah, there was nothing done over the summer. The understanding was that it would be reviewed in 30 school days and adjusted as needed at that time.
I know, Mr. Love, that we've taken you over this territory in depth. In terms of the testing in the functional behavioral assessment by Ms. Hughes in the record, she's narrating the background, and one of the things that she says is that when there was an improvement, the school refused to test Zoe. As a result, Mr. and Mrs. Brown procured an independent evaluation, and that's in the appendix at page 129, although the big Bates stamp printing says 224, but I think the page number that you're using in this corrected appendix is 129. It's that the tiny, tiny writing in this FBA, and it does come across as sort of narrating things from the Brown's perspective, but it's also a DCPS document. I just wondered what your... if you have any information about that.
My understanding is there that was, according to ZB's parents, there's no testimony that or other record evidence that confirms their allegation that testing was refused. But they have, you know, I think that's reporting what ZB's parents reported to Ms. Hughes.
So there's nothing one way or the other other than this?
Other than that, the allegation from ZB's parents in this document, and I believe there's some reference to that in ZB's father's testimony in the record as well. But there's nothing to corroborate that. There's nothing. And I think I understand the court's point with regard to the district reacting or being in a reactive mode, but they reacted promptly each and every time. It's not consistent with a refusal. And I think when information was brought to them, they reacted promptly, responsively, and appropriately. And I think the issue with regard to mainstreaming ZB is a very important issue. And there's considerable evidence, as I said, that supports the conclusion that she didn't require full-time special education. As her number of her teachers and testified, she says, ZB could interact and would benefit from interaction with her non-disabled peers. Peers, interactions that the lab school can't provide. ZB shouldn't have been isolated. She needed to have contact with the students. Not all of them were bullying her. A lot were trying to befriend her. And in DCPS, ZB was getting the dual support system with special ed as well as the general ed classroom.
All right. Thank you very much. Your time is well over.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did he have? I'm sorry. Is it Ig or Eager? Sorry. We'll give you 3 minutes. We'll give you 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. I want to pick up on Dr. Sands' report again, because in May it was submitted. I absolutely agree that the school system, the team at Hearst turned it around very quickly, but they completely missed the explicit recommendations in the report. And I believe it's Joint Appendix 58, but once again, I do ask for permission, if I can, beyond today, to fix up my citations from oral argument.
If you just want to send a letter, and yeah, that'll be fine.
Thank you very much. I'm pretty embarrassed. But it's page 5 of her report. I mean, that much I know. And on the top. And what her recommendation is very clear. It says, and she testified to this as well, with respect to placement, Zoe should receive specialized small group instruction for core
which
subjects.
Which paragraph are you in? I'm sorry, on her page.
Right on the recommendations on the top.
Right, that's not on her page 4.
Page 5. Right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And the recommendations towards the bottom, about 5 mm-hmm. lines from the bottom. With respect to placement, Zoe should receive specialized small group instruction for core subjects, e.g. math, language, arts. For other subjects, Zoe should be placed in a classroom with, say, small teacher-to-student ratio and increased supports for her symptoms of ADHD and to accommodate for the impact of her learning disorders in these settings. For example, co-taught classes. Okay. That's what Dr. Sands repeated that, of course, in her testimony. What the school system, what the team at Hearst did in response to that in the June 2014 IEP the next month was it proposed 7.5 hours of special education a week, or 1.5 hours a day. And it's wholly inconsistent with what she recommended. Yes, the parents did not say at the IEP meeting what I reviewed Mr. Zeebe's father's testimony. Mm-hmm. What he said is that I didn't think it was appropriate, but I didn't say it at the meeting. I went back and talked to my wife. I talked to Dr. Sands. That's when they applied to the lab school, according to his testimony. So it was a little bit later than I said. It was, in fact, because they didn't think that it was consistent with her recommendations, they didn't tell the school system until the end of August, as we well know. That's exactly what happened. But that IEP in June of 2014 was wholly inconsistent with what was being recommended, and what the school system didn't do, in addition to not following it in the June IEP meeting, is do anything, as was just noted, over the summer to say, we should have Ms. Tick evaluate this student, or we should have Ms. Oliveros evaluate this student, because that recommendation is not what's in our IEP. It clearly isn't. So that's one thing I wanted to point out.
I think we've gone very, very long and let everyone argue a very, very long time. So.
And thank you very much, Your Honor.
The case is submitted.
Thank you.